This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Did want to get some baseball in because some very interesting items came out of a back and forth exchange of ideas between the powers that be in Major League Baseball and the Players Union, which could lead to some rule changes. We'll talk about that. And ongoing hot stove, which has gotten real tepid at best here, and it should be for those who are still out there heating up because camps are about to open up, yet we're not seeing movement on any of the two top free agents. Joining us to talk about all that over the next 10 or 12 minutes or so from Yahoo Sports MLB writer Chris Swick. Chris, Jody Mack here in New York. How are you, bud?
I'm doing pretty well. Hoping, as you kind of alluded to, that the hot stove heats up eventually here.
So that's question number one. Will this be either Manny week, Bryce week, or you can just keep waiting week?
I get a sense that we're probably going to be waiting a little longer. I think if either of them are going to sign this week, I think there's maybe more buzz surrounding Machado at this point. We heard some of those rumors earlier about the Yankees making an offer. I still think, based on everything we've heard, the White Sox are very much in that hunt for him. With Harper, it's been a little quieter, I think. We've heard the Phillies, and that's kind of it. And I guess I get a sense that there has to be another team or two really going hard after Harper. So I just feel like we're going to be waiting probably on both, but especially with Harper.
All right. Give me a percentage chance on something like this happening, and if you see it as zero, please say zero. Could either Harper or Machado go down the road of a pillow deal? And for those who don't know what a pillow deal is, it's a phrase that was created in baseball over the last 10 years, where a free agent puts his head down on the pillow for 1 year and decides for these varying factors that they didn't get the free agent run that they should have in a given year, and the next offseason they'll be better situated to get the massive mega long-term deal. Percentage chance either Manny or Harper sign a one-year, very fat, bloated, well over 30, 35, maybe even sneaking up on $40 million one-year deal?
I would say zero. I just don't think, A, those offers are really materializing, and B, especially in Machado's case, you know, he's coming off a great year. So hypothetically, he shouldn't have to take a one-year deal and hope for the best next year. Harper, the average was down, so it would maybe make more sense for him. But I think what we've seen the last two off seasons with these slow markets, I just feel like that type of thing isn't really happening where a guy can take a pillow deal. Like I'm thinking a few years back, Adrian Beltre did that with Boston, and that worked out for him. I just think the market's changed to a point where we're not really seeing that anymore.
All right, speaking of that market, do you believe, and you've got your sources and you've got your own opinions that you generate, do you believe that neither one of these guys is not signed because Major League Baseball is just refusing to go to the length and the dollars for these two players because you can't make an argument over too many other guys? There are no other guys who are free agents at age 26 who are hitting the market. Or do you think that Boris and Lozano, the two agents here, just overshot the moon with what they thought was going to be out there and are having to deal with the harsh reality that they overestimated their clients' worth on the open market?
You know, I put the blame more on the teams in this case, mostly because the market for both guys has really been three or four teams all season. And I feel like in the past, you know, you'd have 15, 20 teams legitimately interested in guys like that. Now, maybe you'd only have, you know, five legitimate contenders, but we're just not seeing that at all from any team. So, I put it more on them. I think just kind of based on previous deals we've seen with young guys, you know, it made sense. You know, Jason Hayward got that mega deal, and clearly You know, that hasn't worked out as well for the Cubs, but I think you take the quality of player of Machado and Harper, you add in, you know, just inflation and the fact that these contracts always get higher, and that's where I guess I look at it and I'm a little confused, because all we heard last offseason was, well, you know, teams aren't spending money because they want these superstars to come next year and be available, and you know, those are the guys you pay for 8 or 9 or 10 years, and you get an elite guy. And we're not seeing that now. So I just think it's just been a frustrating situation on all parts. But I feel like, you know, Harper and Machado, based on the past, they expected a lot more than they're getting now. And I guess I kind of put that on the teams.
Chris Swick, baseball writer for Yahoo Sports, our guest here on CBS Sports Radio. The Phillies have been prominently mentioned in talks for both of those two players. While they're still waiting to see if they can land one of the two, they continue to have an aggressive offseason by acquiring JT Realmuto, who I will say was the best catcher in baseball last year, and I expect him to be the best catcher in baseball this year. Will making a deal for a guy like Realmuto increase their chances to get either Machado or Harper minuscule or pretty well, or could be the last final piece that gets them a Harper or a Machado?
Yeah, I would put it fairly low. I feel like at this point with both of those guys, it's money. So while it's nice to have Realmuto, and he certainly helps them become a more legitimate contender, I guess I just don't see Harper finally caving and saying, all right, fine, I'll take the deal you gave me. I think it's still going to be a negotiation where either Harper or Machado is going to say, look, I like what you've done. You're clearly set up to win, you know, in the high 80s this season. Sign me and we'll win 96 games. So I feel like that, I mean, that's a really compelling argument for me. A team like the Phillies should absolutely be willing to go above and beyond to get one of those guys, because I think right now they're a fringe playoff contender. They get one of those guys, they're almost a certain playoff contender in my mind.
Agreed. I think they could go to favorite in NL East National League East status if they get either of those two guys. All right, the rule changes that kind of just popped out this week, and I didn't even know that they were having substantive conversations between Major League Baseball and the Players Association for potential rule changes. I'll throw them individually to you. You give me your thoughts on it. Good idea, bad idea, could happen before the year starts, could happen sometime down the road, not going to happen in your or my lifetime. Give me what you think about these topics that have at least been discussed. A pitch clock to improve pace of play in baseball.
So I guess I generally support the idea. I think, you know, we've seen a lot of downtime happens in between pitches. My one concern would just be how pitchers feel. I know some guys are worried about throwing too often and maybe worried about injuries on that front. But I'm generally in favor.
Fair enough. You and I are the same there. Universal designated hitter.
All right, so that one is definitely based on what team you grew up rooting for. I grew up on the south side of Chicago, so I was familiar with the AL, so I am totally fine with Universal DH.
Will it happen this year, maybe next year, going into the next collective bargaining agreement? Or, yeah, nice idea that was floated. The NL hasn't changed their ways in 40 years. What makes you think it's going to happen in the next couple?
Yeah, I think this is more of a next collective bargaining agreement thing, so that expires December 2021. I feel like it'll maybe be pushed a little more there. And even then, I'm not sure it's going to pass, because like you said, you know, baseball is just very set in its ways. That would be a fairly major change and one of the things that makes the sport unique compared to the other major sports. So I'm a little skeptical on it. I do think it will probably, we'll see that pushed again, though, in a couple years.
They're potentially kicking around ideas with mound adjustment, either lowering it more to improve offense and or pushing it back from 60 feet, 6 inches. Either one of those appeal to you?
You know, I would not be shocked if either happened. And I think while that's maybe the most drastic, at least in my mind, the most drastic change that we've heard, I think you look at how much the game has changed and all these guys throwing, you know, triple digits regularly, you know, maybe that's the type of correction we'll eventually need. I would love to see more data on it. I would love to get a better sense of exactly what that's going to do to the hitting environment. But it's something I'm at least willing to consider at this point.
The one that was probably most intriguing to me was an adjustment whereby if you bring in a pitcher, starter, and or reliever, and I guess you got to put openers in that mix too because they're starters, but they're not really starters as we what we think of as starters, a minimum number of three batters face. Right now it's one. They would increase it to three. Good idea, bad idea?
Yeah, this one I'm really on the fence on. I really hate the opener. So for starters, I feel like I'd be happy if, you know, they were able to go deeper into games. I like some of the strategic back end stuff that we're seeing with bullpens. The thing that I absolutely recognize as frustrating is when you're seeing, you know, two or three pitching changes per inning, and it frustrates me, and I love baseball, clearly. So I get where it's come from. I would say generally in favor, but I could be convinced either way on that one because I'm not entirely sure what to make of it yet.
The potential to ban the shift? I don't know if this is an either all-in or all-out argument that you either have to take the shift completely out of baseball or just say, hey, defensive alignment's a defensive alignment. We're not going to dictate to a team how they can align their defense. There are times that the shift annoys me. I get it that it's good defense, but when the team I'm rooting for, the player I'm rooting for is at bat and he hits a rocket and he just gets picked off because the second baseman is playing short right field, then yes, it annoys me. Like you were split on the last one, I'm kind of split on this one. Are you?
I like the shift. I like the idea that we've made maybe defense more of a priority in baseball. I just feel like it gets, you know, not as much attention as a great pitching performance or, you know, as a guy who hits three home runs in a game. So I'm in favor of it. I think it would be hard to limit it. I mean, I guess you could say, you know, you can only have two infielders on this side of the second base bag, but I don't know. That kind of messes with double play defense, or it could at least. So I'm not in favor of banning the shift.
Now, as a broadcaster, I know full well there are things that I have to be very careful of saying or not saying and the like. It's my livelihood, so I do it and I adjust. But just generally in life, I think we can get too caught up with being politically correct. No more disabled list. It now needs to be called the injured list. When it's been the disabled list for decades in baseball, is this just baseball kowtowing to the politically correct police?
Well, I don't know if I'd go that far. I mean, I think, you know, we've seen in other sports you have injured lists too, and I think it's more of a situation where, you know, why if people who live with disabilities are not the biggest fans of that, I guess why keep it, you know, at this point? I feel like that's a change that by May all of us will kind of forget happened.
Okay. I've only been saying DL for 40 years, and now I'm going to have to say IL, and it's going to sound real strange, kind of like calling the Chargers Los Angeles. I still call them San Diego, so maybe it's just stupidity on my part or laziness on my part. I'm not sure which. Certainly with the two big chips yet to be played, I don't know that we can say who's had the best off season, but I can ask you who's had the best off season to this point in your mind.
Sure. I think a couple teams have done pretty well. I would put the Phillies somewhat in there. They've made some nice moves. I think, honestly, the Mets have improved quite a bit. You know, with both of those teams, I still feel like they could each do more. You know, the Astros bringing in Brantley, they didn't have to make a lot of big changes, so I feel like that certainly makes them a stronger team. You know, I'm trying to look. The Reds clearly have improved. I don't know if they've done enough either to be legitimate contenders. And then, you know, the Brewers. But again, it's really with all these teams. I feel like all of those teams could benefit from adding another piece or two to really be legitimate contenders. I like what they've done thus far, though.
Are you doing Arizona, Florida, both, or no? My home base is my home base, and I'll wait for them to get back to me.
My home base is going to be my home base this year.
Sorry about that. And if you're still on that south side of Chicago, pretty damn cold. sorry about that, big guy. I'm
in Seattle, and we had a snowstorm here. I was just brushing the cars off 20 minutes ago, so it does not feel like baseball weather here, and it's a weird thing to have snow in Seattle.
Well, hopefully it gets to April before we know it. We get the season underway. Chris, appreciate your coming on board tonight. Thanks much. We'll talk to you down the road.
Yes, thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.